All right, we're going to do a quick Mother's Day message, and I wanted to make it kind of applicable to today. And so I was going through, and, you know, there's all the typical moms that they talk about in the Bible. And so I thought, you know what, I kind of want to pull one out that's a little bit more obscure, but has some similarities to what moms may go through today. And so we're going to take it, a look at a woman who is unnamed. Basically, she's just called the Canaanite woman. And she has an encounter with Jesus, and it's starting in Matthew, and we're going to be pretty much staying in Matthew the whole time, in chapter 15. And in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, it says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon." Now, the region of Tyre and Sidon was very pagan. It had a lot of Greek influence. They were coastal cities. They were only about 30 miles apart. But they were very affluent, and it was one of the times that Jesus actually made a trip out of the typical Jewish areas. So he takes this trip into the region of Tyre and Sidon, and in Matthew chapter 11, verse 21 and 22, Jesus mentions that region, or those two towns, in these two verses. And it says, "Then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles had been performed, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you." So Jesus had been going into these different cities doing miracles, and the hearts of the people were not changed. And so he began to pronounce basically a curse on them and say, you know what? It's going to be better for Tyre and Sidon than it is for you guys, because their hearts are not as hard as yours. And it was a very pagan area. So that's the mention of Tyre and Sidon. So we're going to pick up our story in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. And it says, "A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly.'" So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of break this down and meditate and kind of look at different things that are just in these verses. The first one is that it is a Canaanite woman. Does not list her name. She's Canaanite. She is not Jewish. She's in a region where there's not a whole lot of Jews, probably, and he's addressing or comes in contact with this Canaanite woman. What also is interesting, there's no father mentioned here. There's no husband mentioned here. She's coming, and she's by herself, and it says she is a Canaanite woman. And it was it was not appropriate for a non-Jewish woman to approach a Jewish man. And in fact, the Canaanites were considered as low as the dogs to the Jews. So we have a woman, not named, no husband, coming to Jesus and asking, basically crying out. When you cry out when something happens, there's an urgency there, is there not? It's not just, please, excuse me, sir. May I have some good home? She's crying out in her anguish. She's crying out, and the first thing she says is, "Lord." The word in the Greek is kurios, and it means he to whom a person or thing belongs, about which he has power of deciding. So she is coming to him, she's crying out, she's a woman, she's not a Jew, and she's crying out and she addresses him as Lord. She's basically saying, "I belong to you." She has just established the relationship. You are Lord, you are master, I answer to you, and you have the right to choose whatever way you want to choose. We don't have that concept here in America. But back then, when you said that, when you addressed someone as Lord, you automatically said, "You are the master, I am the servant." So she cries out, "Lord, son of David. She uses a term that is from the Old Testament about who the coming Messiah would be. It says in the Old Testament that he will be from the bloodline of David. And that term, son of David, was actually used for the Messiah. So she addresses him as Lord, Master. You're up here, I am down here, son of David, the Messiah. His own people did not call him son of David. But here we have a Canaanite woman in the region of Tyre and Sidon who address him as Lord, son of David. And she says, have mercy. Have mercy. She does not list her merits. She does not come to him and go, well, you know, I'm a good person. Well, you know, if you'll just grant me this, then I'll do this. Which some of us have a tendency to do. She doesn't list, well, you know, I've done this and this, and I am a part of the PTA, and I give to the foundations, and I do this, and I do that. First thing she does is asks for his mercy. She doesn't demand it. She asks for it. And she says, have mercy on me, my daughter. And then she goes in to talk about the condition that her daughter has. Here is a good mom. She is petitioning on behalf of her daughter, who needs God's mercy. We as parents, you as mothers, even if you don't have kids, we have kids in our fellowship. We have kids in our youth group that do not have spiritual moms and dads, who do not have believing parents. And I believe it is our job to take over that role for those kids. We have kids that do not have prayer coverage. My daughters had prayer coverage from the day before they came out the chute. I was praying for them. I wanted to make sure that God's hand was upon them. Every single day, I prayed for protection over my girls. I prayed that every single day that they would seek his face more, that they would be obedient to his ways, so that they could avoid a lot of the things that I did back in my younger and dumber days. But they had prayer covering. Jesus prayed for his disciples. I believe that he modeled for us that we are to pray for one another, and especially for those who can't pray for themselves, who don't know anything about it. We have an opportunity to pray for kids, not just your own, but for all the other kids. We have an opportunity to affect things in the spiritual realm, that they would be poured out into the physical realm. But here is a mother approaching a man, a Jewish man, which is very inappropriate to do, crying out, asking for mercy, and asking for something for her daughter. I don't know about you, there's nothing worse as a parent when your child is sick and there's nothing you can do. But you know what? We do have things that we can do. The first thing we should do is go to God. Because no one understands a father's heart or a mother's heart more than our Heavenly Father. And so we go, we petition him, we ask him, we don't demand. We don't go to God and say, you know what, God? I've been to church 6 times in the last 3 weeks, and you're not answering my prayer. No, we go to him with the appropriate relationship. He's master, we're not. And we ask, we petition, we don't demand. A servant does not demand anything of the master. Yet, I've seen a lot of bad teaching on how you should pray. I've heard people say, well, you need to say these things first, because then once you say these things, you've got God with his arm behind his back, and he has to answer your prayers. My daughters never came to me, and if I said, you know what, if you say the right words in the right order, then I have to grant you whatever it is that you want. God doesn't do that either. But there's some teaching out there that says that. And it's incorrect. Jesus says, this is saying is how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There's no demands in there right now, right there. You're addressing, you're establishing, you're saying, you are God, and I am not. So she does not come demanding. She comes requesting and petitioning for her child. Matthew chapter 15, verse 23. It says, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. I thought the next verse was very, very interesting. Jesus did not answer a word. He did not respond to a woman who was crying out after him, asking for mercy. How many of you would have been offended? I would have. How many of you have ever prayed to God and got nothing back? Silence. But as God, does he not have that right? And later on, we're going to see sometimes why God does not answer our prayers, why we think he's so far from us, why we can't hear, why we don't understand. But he says that he did not answer a word. And so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away. She is doing this in such a way that she's beginning to annoy the disciples. That here comes a woman crying out for mercy, and they're like, she's getting on my nerves, Jesus. You just need to send her away. Just shoo her away, because what does it say? It says, she keeps crying out after us. They're establishing teams right here. They're establishing, well, this is me and Jesus and us. This is our group. She's not a part of that group. She's outside of it. She's annoying us. And how often do we have that mentality? Well, it's us, and then there's them. We do that between churches. Let's be honest. We do that between churches. And I think one of the reasons is because we have people that get offended in one church and they go to the next church and then they badmouth where they came from. So that's the only thing they know about it. So, oh, they must be evil over there. And so there's this us versus them mentality amongst the family of God. And it's wrong. Here we have the disciples saying, you know what, you need to send her away. She's kind of getting annoying. She's getting on our nerves. Could you take care of that, please? Well, did you notice she did not go to the disciples? She went to Jesus, called him Lord, called him the Son of David, and made her request directly to Jesus. She didn't say, there's no record that she said a word to the disciples. Now, I don't know about you, but when I grew up Catholic, I was taught that you pray to certain people for certain things. There's no record of that in the scriptures whatsoever. In fact, there are tons of scriptures that actually denounce that. Why would you go to St. Peter when you can go to God yourself? You only need to go to St. Peter if you need a go-between. But when Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood, he gave us access to the very throne of God. I don't need to go to Pastor Lee and go, Pastor Lee, I need you to pray for me. Now, that is very scriptural, to pray for me. But I never have gone and prayed to Pastor Lee and said, hey, pass this on to God because he's not listening to me. That doesn't happen. She goes directly to the source of where the of the person that can actually answer her prayers. So why would you go? I don't understand. And that was one of the things that I asked the priest, and I was never given a good answer. But she goes directly to the source. When you need an answer from God, go to God. He's the only one that can answer it anyways. Now, it is completely biblical to have other people agree with you and join with you in prayer. Pray for me. This is going on. Absolutely. But to go to other people and direct your prayers to them is not biblical. So they send her away. She had a need, but they wanted to stop because she basically wasn't part of the team and she was not worthy of an answer. Remember, these are the same disciples that tried to shoo the kids away when they were coming to Jesus? And Jesus goes, no. Let those kids come to me. Let those kids come to me. And he laid hands, he took time, he laid hands on them. He blessed them when the disciples wanted to shoo them away. They're annoying. They're bothersome. Let's get rid of them. No. We see the very same thing here. Get rid of her. And Jesus does not shoo her away. All right, let's continue. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. In Acts chapter 3, verse 26, it says, when God raised up his servant, talking about Jesus, he sent him first to you, the Jews, to bless you by turning each of you away from your wicked ways. Jesus, when he was first sent, was sent to the Jews, his own people. That was his main goal in the beginning. And so we have a Canaanite woman who is not part of the Jewish family, who is not part of the bloodline, and she's coming and asking him for something, and Jesus' response, first of all, he ignores her. Then second of all, he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. So Matthew chapter 15, verse 25, it says, the woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. The woman came and knelt before him. After not receiving a response from Jesus, she finally gets one, and she comes and she kneels at his feet. How many of you would have been gone by now? This guy's a fraud. He can't help me. He's not what everyone says he is. He ignored me first. Then he says, I'm not sent to you. I'm sent to another group of people. Her response is to grow and get closer to her Lord. Is that our response when we don't get the response that we want from God? Sometimes God does not answer your prayers. Sometimes it seems like he is not listening because he wants you to draw closer to him. He will be silent if you will press in and get closer. Unfortunately, when we hear nothing, usually that's when we turn around. And we blame God. Well, I've had so many people, well, I tried God. You don't try God on your terms. He's either Lord or he's not. He's either master or he's not. He's not your good buddy. He is Lord. So she doesn't get the response. She gets basically ignored, and then she presses in and says that she kneels. She takes the position of a servant once again. Lord, help me, she said. In verse 26, he replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. So here we have Jesus ignoring her, first of all, and then saying, I'm not here to help you, second of all, and then what does he do? He calls her a dog. Did he not? It's not right that I take the children's bread and give it to you, the dogs. Now how many of you would have got up in his face and said, you know, I'll take, you can do that for a second, but the when you call me a dog, it's on. So he ignores her. Then he says, I can't help you. And then he calls her a dog. She could have taken up an offense at that moment and not received what God had for her. See, when he seems to ignore us, or when he seems to deny us, or when he seems to call us names, he's testing our hearts. He's testing this woman's heart. He knows what's in there. He wants her to know what's in there. He already knows. And here we have a woman that if she had a proudful heart, gone. She would have been gone. And she would have forfeited what God had for her. So let's read on. Matthew 15:27. She says, yes, it is, Lord. Her response to it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. She says, yes, it is, Lord. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. She says, yeah, I am a dog. I am a dog. But I believe that you're the kind of God that even has mercy on the dogs. And she says, yes, it is. And then Jesus says to her, woman, you have great faith. He's standing there with his disciples who had just said, get rid of this woman, she's annoying. And he just declared in front of them, woman, you have great faith. Now, I don't know about you, if you put yourself in one of the disciples' shoes that were trying to get rid of her, wouldn't you feel about that tall? Because the person that you just deemed was not worthy of his attention is now being called a woman of great faith. Is it because of the life that she had led? No. Is it because of the background that she had? Because of the education that she had? No. It's because she understood her relationship with him. And that he declares a great faith. And the disciples had to sit there and listen and hopefully learn. All right, John chapter 1, verse 11. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot the best part. Woman, you have great faith, your request is granted. And her daughter was healed at that moment. Because of her pressing in, because of her not becoming offended, because of her not having a proudful heart, because of her not dismissing him, she received what it was that she asked for in the beginning. Now, when she cried out in the beginning, Jesus could have said, okay, yep, she's healed. Carry on. No, he wanted an interaction with her. He wanted to develop a relationship with her. And oftentimes when we're asking for God for something and we get zip, he wants us to draw in. He wants us to press in. He wants us to come to him. And spend that time with him. He's about relationships. So we have this woman who is petitioning for her children, who according to the religious people was not worthy. Don't ever let anybody say you're not worthy. If you're a single mom, don't ever let anybody say you're not worthy. If you don't have kids, don't ever let anybody say you're not worthy. Our culture has certain women that likes to look down their noses on them. Some people look down on their noses of women who are very successful in the workplace and don't have kids. Some people who are in the workplace look down on those who stay at home as a stay-at-home mom. It's not right. Jesus just proved right here, every single woman is very special. Even when a culture says you're not, even when the religious leaders say you're not, Jesus says, yeah, the ones considered dogs, very special. Great faith. Has nothing to do with where you are in your life. But when we come to him, and we kneel at his feet, we are in the place that we should be. John chapter 1, verse 11, it says, he came to that which was his own, talking about Jesus coming to the Jews, but his own did not receive him. So then in Romans 1:16, it says, I'm going to have the music ministry team come on. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. So initially, God's plan was to send Jesus to the Jews. And what it did is it caused the Jews to become puffed up, arrogant, Pharisaical. They looked down on everyone else. And then Jesus said, you know what? I came first to you. You did not receive me. So guess what? Now I'm going to the dogs. And if you're not Jewish, according to the scriptures, we're dogs. You know what? God even loves dogs. You notice he didn't use cats here? But if you're not a Jew, guess what? I'll take those crumbs. I'll take them all day long. Because there's not a Jewish vein in me except for the one that's spiritual. So it's because we've been adopted. We've been grafted into the vine. When we become believers, we're grafted into that vine, and that vine is Jewish. But it says that we will no longer be Jew and Gentile, just family. What a great place to be. Thank you, Lord, for the crumbs that come from your table. Because if he wasn't that kind of God, he'd be lost. But he says, I wish no man to perish. I want everyone to come to the knowledge of who I am. I want everyone to receive that gift that I sent in my son, so that we may be called children of God. Thank you, Lord. I am so glad that I do not have to live according to the Levitical sacrificial system. Because how horrible would it be first of all, it would be a mess in here. If everyone's bringing their sacrifices and just the birds fluttering and the bulls and the goats and the lambs and the smell, and then you got to kill them, and then the kids would be freaking out. And thank you, Lord. And when you died on the cross, you said, it is finished. It's done. I did not come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. Thank you, Lord. And then he chose to have the connection with a Canaanite woman recorded in the scriptures. Why? So that we can be encouraged. So when we feel that we're not worthy, but that I'm not enough, especially as a woman, because guys are arrogant. Let's just throw it out there. When we look in the mirror, we look 10 pounds lighter and much better. When a woman looks in the mirror, they hear all the, well, you're that, you're ugly, you're this, you're that, you know, and they think those things, and guys are like, yep, that's a good day. So he chooses a Canaanite woman and shows God's mercy that is available to everybody. Amen? Please stand.